This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work Policy and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work, social policy, and social administration prepares professionals to address today's most pressing challenges and offers flexible options with part-time and evening classes to support busy adults balancing complex schedules. Inspire change, shape the future at crownschool.uchicago.edu/social work. WBEZ's nonprofit spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org.
Experts say children are developing myopia, or nearsightedness, at an accelerated rate, and they're pointing their fingers at excessive screen time. I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Do you know that feeling of your eyes straining from staring at a screen for too long? Or even your vision being a little blurry after looking closely at your phone for a while? Yeah, not great. Well, more kids are experiencing issues with their eyesight, and staring at screens is the culprit. I mean, think about it. How much time do your kids spend watching TV, scrolling through social media on their phone, or doing their homework on school laptops? It's habits like these that eye experts say can lead to high myopia in children, which can lead to more severe symptoms, including blindness. To learn more about the impact of screens on children's eyesight, we spoke to Dr. Lisa Thompson, an attending physician of pediatric ophthalmology at Cook County Medical Center, and Dr. Noreen Sheikh, an optometrist at Lurie Children's Hospital. I started our discussion by asking Dr. Thompson to first explain what myopia is.
Myopia is the clinical term for nearsighted, which is a very common refractive error that it makes vision blurry in the distance, but up close much better. Hence the term nearsighted.
I see. And Dr. Sheikh, a recent study is showing that 50% of the world's population will have some degree of myopia by 2050, which is alarming. I mean, can we largely attribute this to current screen habits, though? Is that a fair assumption?
You know, we have seen a big uptick in recent years, and we do attribute a lot of that to spending a lot more time looking at things up close.
Yeah, but that's the way of the future.
It is, and really,
everything's on screen.
Everything is on screen, and we saw a big increase in that behavior during the pandemic as well. And not ironically, we saw an increase in the amount of myopia that we're seeing as well.
And this isn't just happening in the U.S., right, Dr. Thompson?
Right. You know, Asian countries are seeing this as an epidemic. You know, Taiwan, Singapore, South Korea are all over 75% of their population. And I think whenever you put intense and early education together with less outdoor time, which we haven't talked about, but that is a risk factor too, and more screen time, you see just an explosion of onset and progression of myopia.
Mm-hmm. You were citing a Rwanda study, doctor?
You know, they're actually last month in the Journal of Pediatric Ophthalmology, there was a study in Rwanda done. It was a population-based study that looked at over 25,000 kids, and their incidence of myopia, and actually all refractive error, is less than 1%. So there are places in the world where, you know, because they're outdoors, kids are outdoors, and there's no early onset rigorous academia, the kids just don't develop myopia at all.
So help us connect the dots here, Dr. Sheikh. I mean, why is it so concerning that more children are developing myopia today? Like, what is it about children's eyes that maybe make them particularly susceptible?
Right. So we typically see normal growth of the eye. So the physiological growth of the eye doesn't cause an increase in the amount of myopia. Myopia happens because the eye is becoming elongated over time. And so that physiological growth is normal. We don't see that increase in myopia. But what we are seeing now is not only that physiological growth, but the myopic growth, where eyes are growing at a faster rate than normal. Typically, that slows down or stops at the age of 12. Mm. But now we're often seeing it extending, that myopia starting earlier and then continuing to progress into teenage or even later years.
Oh my goodness. So the you're saying with the myopia, your eye is it's accelerating that lengthening that should happen sort of over the course of your lifetime is happening really quickly.
Correct. So we're seeing it. So the lengthening of the eye, the normal growth of the eye usually slows down or stops around 12, 13 years old. But again, we're seeing sort of a faster rate of growth within those years and then that growth continuing on.
So at what point does myopia become something that parents need to be concerned about? I mean, I'll speak for myself. Both my daughters have prescription glasses. One wears them every day, relies on them. The other she puts them on, I think, just in class at school. It isn't as much of a concern. I don't think I'd ever connected myopia, or maybe I just wasn't using the right terminology up until this point.
Mm-hmm. So when we become concerned about myopia is typically when we reach the levels of high myopia. So high myopia would be considered minus 6 or greater. And that is usually correlates with an axial length, so a length of the eyeball of 26 millimeters or greater. So a longer eye has more, the structures that line the back of the eye, the retina is more stretched in that eye. And so when it's more stretched, it's thinner. And that makes it more susceptible to tearing or getting a retinal detachment. And these things typically happen much later than life, but we have learned that every diopter makes a difference. Every diopter puts you at a greater risk of those complications later in life.
So Dr. Thompson, I'm asking again on behalf of the parents here, how much is too much screen time?
So the American Academy of Pediatrics, based on the research that's been done, recommends no more than an hour a day of screen time in kids over the age of 2 and up until age 6.
Than an hour a day? Is that what you said?
Yes, I know. It's shocking, isn't it?
it just sounds impossible.
It's doable. It just takes a lot of parenting. You know, I think under the age of 2, there is no recommended screen time. Kids under toddlers babies should not be looking at screens for more than just FaceTiming grandma or something of that nature.
Well, I'm thinking of like school-aged children who are getting Chromebooks to do their assignments. And so they're on screens for, 6, 7, 8 hours a day just in class.
I agree. It is a challenge. I mean, for academic stuff, I think that there's some rationale for being able to use screens. I think what the problem really is that a lot of children, school-age children, will come home and then be on screens just for fun, mm-hmm. or for, quote, educational apps, unquote, instead of going outside, which we know from many studies has been shown to decrease both the onset of myopia and the severity of myopia.
Yeah, they're coming home, they're talking and messaging with friends, they're on social media because they hadn't been able to use it all day at school. They're watching television, and the hours are just adding up, it sounds like. Sticking with you for just another moment here, Dr. Thompson, you have mentioned the phrase myopagenic lifestyle. What is that?
Right. Well, that is the combination, right, of early education, less outdoor time, and more screen time. So we are, all of us, even, adults, are just becoming more myopagenic in the way we function, and it's just causing this explosion. It's difficult. It's many things at once that we're doing, and slowly but surely, even before COVID, we were sort of seeing this uptick from the 70s, 25% of us in the 2000s, 40% now, close to 50%. So I think we have to take a step back and look at these lifestyle changes that we've made.
How do you feel about how kids in Chicago are you know, exposed here? Are they especially vulnerable, you think?
I think they are. In inner city and underserved populations, it's a very difficult thing to allow your child to be outdoors for 2 hours a day, which is sort of the recommended time frame. And I think, you know, that requires, especially in young kids, it requires the parent to be out. It requires a safe neighborhood. It's just harder and harder to do these days.
Dr. Sheikh, are there any ethnic or socioeconomic disparities when it comes to the number of cases that you see in your office?
Yeah, I think East Asian children are more affected by myopia, and that is likely due to genetic predisposition as well as lifestyle.
Oh, I see.
Also, as Dr. Thompson said, urban children are also at a greater risk, I think, for those reasons that you're less likely to spend that quality time outdoors. And Chicago in particular, our winters are tough, our days are short.
They are.
And so that outdoor time is really, we believe, is dependent upon the brightness of the light. And so when we have these short days, kids get outside after school, but it's dark at 4:30. So they get much more limited, good outdoor exposure.
So talk more than Dr. Thompson about those long-term symptoms of high myopia, as we mentioned. I mean, what happens if it goes untreated?
So like Dr. Sheikh had mentioned, there's retinal detachment is a much, you know, the risk of having either retinal detachment or something called myopic maculopathy. The macula is the center of the retina. And when it gets thin, it just stops working. You know, and so the risk of both of those things happening go up exponentially as the number of myopia, that myopic number minus six or greater, goes up. So it's and unfortunately, you know, the retina is like brain tissue. If it breaks or if it thins out, you have a very short period of time to fix it, after which you just have vision loss and there's really no treatment for it. There's no great treatment for it. So it is a tricky thing to try to limit the growth of the eye and limit the growth of the number of the myopia.
Hmm. So, I mean, what else can we do about this, Dr. Sheikh? I mean, is it really just less screen time and more time outside?
You know, I mean, there are interventions now. So this is a very highly studied topic. So recently in 2020, the FDA approved a contact lens that was designed specifically to slow down the progression of myopia. And so that has proven to be very effective for children. It was approved for children 8 and above. And
A contact lens.
It's a soft, daily disposable contact lens, just like you or I might wear every day.
Mm-hmm.
And the safety has been proven and the efficacy has been proven. The idea is that it focuses the image in front of the retina, in front of the peripheral retina in the back of the eye, and that helps prevent the eye from elongating. There are also eye drops that can be used to help prevent the eye from elongating as well as an overnight hard contact lens that reshapes the eye and prevents it from growing. So there are these interventions that you can take once a child's become myopic to slow it down, but we can't stop that growth entirely. We can slow it down. So the earlier you catch it,
and this contact lens and these eye drops, that's in place of glasses? Like they wouldn't need glasses at that point?
Or the contact lens would be in place of glasses, but if the eye drop would require glasses still.
How much would this cost, these treatments?
You know, it's expensive, and unfortunately, it's not covered by insurance. The contact lenses can range from anywhere from $800 to $2,000 for a year supply. The eye drops run around $400, $450 for a year supply.
Mm. Does the current eye drops recall that we're hearing about
not affected
impact
by
this?
Yeah,
okay.
No, these are not commercially
folks
available.
Folks might be thinking, so I gotta ask.
No, I'm glad you did. So this is actually a special contact or a special eye drop that has to be compounded at a specialty pharmacy. It's not commercially available.
Gotcha. Well, how do you suggest parents help their kids create healthier habits with their devices, Dr. Thompson?
Well, the nice thing about these devices is they all have parent controls. And, you know, I have three kids. They're all on parent, even the teenager is on a limit. And you can limit apps, you can limit overall screen time. And I think you just as a parent, you have to be a little more proactive in those screen time limits. I also think, you know, getting your kids outdoors, it is tough in Chicago, but foster an interest in being outdoors, outdoor sports, skiing, making snowmen, invest in winter clothing, really good winter clothing, not only for your kids, but for yourself, because you're probably going to need to get out there too.
We'll leave it there. Dr. Lisa Thompson is an attending physician of pediatric ophthalmology at Cook County Medical Center. And Dr. Noreen Shake is an optometrist at Lurie Children's Hospital. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
This episode was produced by Brenda Ruiz, who edited it along with Linnea Dominic. If you enjoy listening to our program, give us a like and subscribe so that you never miss a new episode. It also helps more people find our show. That's it from Reset for today. I'm your host, Sasha Ann Simons, and we will talk again tomorrow.